about an important issue, and it's one that's important for our own capacity to learn. When we are in the course of our learning, so we're undoubtedly encountering, aside from Mamari Chazal, Psukim, Midrashim, we're definitely encountering a variety of different Rishonim. And when we learn Rishonim, so sometimes the more that we are familiar with the particular details surrounding that Rishon and the style of learning, or the way in which he's used, almost one way of saying it, so sometimes the more beneficial, the more productive we can be. If we know that what Rashi is doing is different than what Tosfos is doing, so then when I learn Rashi, I'll ask certain kinds of questions, I'll pay attention to certain kinds of things. When I'm learning Rashi, I'm more likely to ask, what does Rashi do as far as how does he contribute to Pshat in the Gemara? That's a very common question for Rashi, the first thing you're going to ask. And other Rishonim, they may also relate to the Pshat in the Gemara, but it seems like they have slightly different goals. It seems like Tosfos, at least in many, many comments of Tosfos, not all, but in many comments of Tosfos, it seems like part of the issue that Tosfos wonders about is how this Gemara fits with other Gemaras. And depending on which Rishon you're learning, so sometimes the more familiarity we have with it, the more we know how to learn them, and the more that we are familiar with what to do when we encounter particular Shittos. Today we're going to speak about the Rambam. We're going to focus in particular on the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. The Rambam wrote a lot of different writings. Hagdama, Peirush HaMishnah, the Rambam wrote. There are tshuvas of the Rambam. The Rambam wrote Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam has different letters. The Rambam may have written a lot of different things, but certainly as far as classic learning of Gemara, Shas, and Halacha, the Rambam's Mishnah Torah is of paramount importance. There are 14 different books there in the 14 different books there in Rambam, and they really do have a massive amount of that's written about them. If you look as an example at this, like Frankel Rambam, so they have in the back just like a mafteya with what people say on different topic based on the halachas. So you see, opening up random to help us malachim perakei halacha. Hey, we got one section here. You find just so many achronim who are talking about Rambam. The Rambam becomes very important for any kind of a discussion. Many paskin, the Beis Yosef writes that when he decides how to paskin, he looks at Rambam, Rif, and Rosh, and paskin like any two of them. Certain worlds paskin much more heavily even, like Rambam, if you're a Taimani, certain kinds of Sfarim are going to paskin very intensely, like Rambam, and even Ashkenazim that often follow more Baal Yad Tosfos, a lot of Rambam that certainly plays a role and is definitely an important voice in the discussion, and that's definitely part of it. It's also the case, I think they say a Maisa over with the Avnei Nezer commenting on Reb Chaim's Derech Halimut. Hope the dates work out okay. The Rambam also is a commentary on the Gemara, meaning when I'm learning Rambam, even if I don't, it seems like he's just quoting Gemaras. Whenever anyone quotes a Gemara, so how are they quoting it? And how do they understand what the case was? And the Rambam often read the Gemara differently than Rashi or differently than Tosfos. And sometimes when you look at a Rambam, you're also getting a new pshat in how to read Gemara. So Rambam becomes incredibly important and incredibly significant. Mishnah Torah is important for two additional reasons. Number one, Mishnah Torah is important because it's on everything. It's Mishnah Torah. It's an attempt at summarizing all of Torah Shebaal Peh. Why does that matter if he's summarizing all of Torah Shebaal Peh or not? Because often what's challenging, let's say Tosfos quotes different Gemaras. So someone talks about, quotes one of the Gemaras, I don't always know what do they do about the other Gemara. I don't always know, they hold like this in Hilchos Kiddushin, but what do they hold in Hilchos Sota? Or what do they think, how this plays out in Hilchos Eidos? And because the Rambam wrote on everything, doesn't mean every little detail of a case, but because he wrote more systematically over all of Torah Shebaal Peh, so part of what I can get when I learn Rambam is not just what does he hold in this case, but has a fit with what he held in that case. And looking at all Rambams together often gives us a more sort of like precise, a more defined kind of a role. There are also those who claim that Rambam Mishnah Torah is written with a degree of Ruach Kodesh. Some of the Briskers, interestingly enough, are in that camp. The reason why that matters is to what extent am I bound? Can I say a pshat in Rambam? This is supposed to be maybe a different time. Can I speak a pshat of Rambam to say something out, which maybe the Rambam himself didn't think of, but it fits with all of his words? Like, how much am I bound by what the Rambam himself may have thought? That gets into questions like, let's say the Rambam in a tshuva explains. Let's say the Rambam in a tshuva explains a particular sheet of his in Mishnah Torah, can you offer a different explanation? Like, how much am I bound by the Rambam's pshat and what Rambam held? Or not? That's all part of the conversation. I do want to speak about, I think, four or so practical tips for learning Rambam and making our limud of Rambam more beneficial and more impactful, and hopefully in a way which can work well. The first as follows. Location. One of the main things that the Rambam did was as follows. Mishnah, all of Gemara is written down without that much of a real Seder. Some people say Gemara. The Gemara tells us that we are allowed to write down Torah Sheba'al Peh. But even when we wrote down Torah Sheba'al Peh, Rav Huttner points out in the Maamar on Chanukah, I believe, that Torah Sheba'al Peh was written down with the flavor of Torah Sheba'al Peh. It sounds like an oral conversation. Like, it's not so clear why this is on Daf Dal, this is on Daf Bay, this is on Daf Vav. It doesn't seem like it's a systematically, like, organized work, at least at first glance. The Rambam certainly is. The Rambam restructured things. The Rambam took all of Torah Sheba'al Peh, and he put all of the halachas that have to do with Ishus, he put in Hilchos Ishus. That means some Gemaras from Kiddushin, some Gemaras from Ksubis, but it could also be Gemaras from other places also that he lifted. He said, this is a Gemara, it's a Gemara in Brachos, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, but this Gemara is relevant to Hilchos Ishus. And he does that throughout. When you learn Meseches Makos in the first parak, so the first parak is talking about Hilchos Mikvaos. But the Rambam is going to take that and put the discussion into a discussion of Hilchos Mikvaos instead of being sort of there the same way. So location matters a lot for the Rambam. It matters a lot for the Rambam in the following way. Why are certain halachas in certain books? Why is Hilchos Avelus, we've been learning Avelus, in the middle of Hilchos of Sefer Shoftim? Why is that there at all? That's one kind of a question. It's also about individual prakim. Why are individual prakim where they happen to be? And why, and what parak is it in? And why are certain halachas considered to be there. So as an example, a couple examples. The Rambam quotes the halacha, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah of Kabbalah's Pnei Rabo Beregel. Kabbalah's Pnei Rabo Beregel. The Gemara tells us that on Regalim, it's a mitzvah to go visit your Rebbe. The Rebbe Huda points out that maybe not nowadays. That's what the Rambam says. That's what the Gemara says. Where is Rambam quoted? I believe in the fifth parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah. Why is that important? Because I want to understand why is it important to go to Rebbe Anyantef. Why is that important? Why is that in the Kuda? Why is that a valuable task? Different ways of saying why that would be. Because the Rambam places it where he places it. You know what I find out? The Rambam places it in the context of halacha. It's all about Hilchos, Kavod HaTorah. It tells me that the reason why you're going to Rebbe's house on Regalim is for Kavod HaTorah purposes. I can get it based on context. Or the following example. Rishonim debate about Sfiras HaOmer, whether Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah to count Sfiras HaOmer, not connected to the Karban HaOmer, or it connects to the Karban HaOmer. Nafkamina, maybe Bisman Hazeh, when Sfiras HaOmer, when we don't offer Karban HaOmer, is the mitzvah of counting the Omer d'Oraisa or d'Rabbanan. If it's only a mitzvah because you offer a Karban, so I don't offer a Karban, Bisman Hazeh, maybe d'Rabbanan. The Rambam is fascinating. He thinks it's the Oraisa nowadays, but where are you going to count the halachas of Sfiras HaOmer? You can either put it in Hilchos Yontif, that's appropriate. The Rambam puts it in Hilchos Tmidim Umusafin. He puts the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer there. So I'm trying to figure out where something is. I can see based on where Rambam put it, what that maybe tells me. Like in Yeharik Val Yavor. Where is Rambam speaking about Yehav Yavor in Parakeh of Hilchos, Yisod Yatorah, which is all about Kiddush Hashem. So it's all about Kiddush Hashem. So that's part of how I know for the Rambam, it's all a Kiddush Hashem type halacha, that sometimes the location becomes important. Sometimes for a different reason. We get into questions of order and structure. Here's a question of the Radvaz, a fascinating question of the Radvaz. If you were going to begin, the way the Rambam begins certain halachas, or where he puts things, the following. The Rambam begins Hilchos Talmud Torah. How would you begin Hilchos Talmud Torah? What would you talk about? The Chiv of Talmud Torah. How does Rambam begin Hilchos Talmud Torah? Who is Pater from Talmud Torah? The first halacha. The following people are Pater from learning. fasting. Rav Vaz wonders, why would that be? Why would you begin like that? Or how about this one, the beginning of Hilchos Ishus? How does Rav begin Hilchos Ishus? Kodem Matan Torah with history lesson. Before Matan Torah, marriage looked like this. Now after Matan Torah, marriage looks like that. Why does the Rambam sometimes begin with history lessons and sometimes he doesn't? Where else does Rambam begin with history lessons? Hilchos Chanukah, he begins with a history lesson. Very odd why he does it there. And Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he gets into a history lesson there also. But sometimes yes, sometimes no. Why does he begin in that kind of a way? That's already an intriguing question. Sometimes, here's a fancier kind of a ha'ara. I think it Rosenzweig pointed out at the first paragraph of Hilchos Trumos, that if you would go through the first paragraph of Hilchos Trumos, the first 24 or so halachas, you would think that Truma is Doraisa nowadays. He only tells you at the end of the first paragraph that it's only Durbana nowadays. Why? Why? When does he tell us right away? When are certain things hidden? Certain things delayed? That sometimes for location and order become very important for Rambam, which means I'm looking at a Rambam, I always have to also look at what came before, what came afterwards, what sefer is it in? That's going to impact almost everything or a lot when I'm looking at Rambam. One additional ha'ara, Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, Professor Chaim Soloveitchik once, I think, pointed out, all those questions are only good questions if you have a better place where the Rambam could have put it. Why did he put it in Pidum Musafim? He could have put it in Hilchos Yantif. But some things maybe don't have a better place. Hilchos Mila is in Sefer Ahava. Why is it in Sefer Ahava? Well, where should it be? It's not a Zrayim halacha. It's not a Taros halacha. Sometimes it's not clear if there is necessarily a better place for it. That's all part of the question. I'll give you one example of that. The first parak of Hilchos Bikurim for the Rambam has nothing to do really with Bikurim. It's all about, anybody know? First parak of Bikurim? It's really the beginning is all about the 24 Matnos Kahuna, 24 priestly gifts. Why is it there? I mean, maybe it's a good place to put it. Bikurim Matnos Kahuna, it works. Other Matnos Kahuna are there also. Sometimes it's not so clear, like, where is, like, a better... There's no other sefer called, like, Sefer Kahuna. Sometimes it's not so clear that necessarily if there is or isn't a better place. That's the first thing to pay attention to. In Rambam, the question of location, before you even know what he says, that's number one. Number two to pay attention to is the Rambam source. The Rambam source. Sometimes Rambam doesn't have a source, and then he says what? Yira'ali. Yira'ali means it seems to me. I mean, he doesn't have a source. Ordinarily, if he doesn't say that, ordinarily, more or less, we assume he probably does have a source. The question would be then, how do I discovering what the Rambam's mukker is? What the Rambam's mukker is? Nowadays, because with the Rambams, we have a lot of Nosei Kalim, which will tell you what they think the Rambam's mukker is. We also have some other Mikoros, there's Sfarim that are out there that will often point also to what the Rambam is based on, to where things really are found. But what you find is as follows. I'm going to happen to you. You learn a Gemara in Bekiyas. You learn a Gemara in Bekiyas. You learn that Gemara with Rashi. And then you start learning it Be'in. And you start learning it Be'in, and suddenly I get very frustrated because as I'm learning it, none of the Rishonim seem to like make any sense. They're all like sort of like against that Gemara. And it takes a while sometimes to realize maybe Rashi read it one way, but other Rishonim read that Gemara as being a little bit different. Sometimes it's not so clear. If you remember, we quoted the Yerushalmi a little bit ago. The Yerushalmi says that Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara tried to learn from Yaakov, that Yaakov held that Avelos is 7 days, maybe Doraisa. And then the Yerushalmi has like five words. Where it's not clear, are those five words asking a question and rejecting that answer? Are those five words confirming that answer? And that's what's clear. So when I'm looking at Rambam sometimes, part of the question is, what is the mukker? But also, did the Rambam say anything surprising? Did he say anything that's not in line with what I saw in Gemara and Rashi? Did he seem to read the Gemara a little bit differently? The Rambam paskin the way that I thought he should paskin. I remember this earlier. I use Rambam often for getting pshat in a Gemara. So if I don't have a dictionary next to me or whatever it is, the Rambam quotes a Gemara, so that's something that's very helpful because the Rambam will explain it in a very clear way. Step three for learning Rambam, we don't have that much time, but step three for learning Rambam is like this. This is a little bit, it's a little bit fancy, but it's where a lot of the action comes. Tosfos points out a stira between Gemaras. Tosfos a stira. The Gemara Moed Katan and Daf Chav Gimel implies that a person can only marry after Avelas, after Shloshim Yom. The Gemara in Ksubis implies a person can get married even after 7 days. What you then want to do is look up how the Rambam paskins both of those Gemaras. Meaning, if Tosfos ever comments on a Gemara, and Tosfos has a stira between different Gemaras, has Rambam paskin in all of those contexts? In all of those contexts. Because sometimes what I'll see is that Tosfos, the Rambam didn't buy Tosfos' answer, or sometimes the Rambam did, or sometimes the Rambam changed something or left something out. But often looking and seeing, does everything fit together or not? Everything fit together, that becomes something which can be very helpful. The last point as far as practical, however, before we've got a couple other issues, have to do with Mefarshim on the Rambam. There are many sugyas in which you will learn where a lot of the action takes place surrounding Shitas HaRambam. Where a lot of the action takes place surrounding the Mefarshim on the Rambam. The Rambam, in most Rambams, you have Nosei Kelim. You have a lot of them, the Kesef Mishnah, the Yosef Cairo, the Magen Mishnah. You have the Radvaz often. You have the Lechem Mishnah. You have certain more standard Nosei Kelim, which are often very important. Sometimes it's very hard to find, additional Mikoros, but they often are so critical. In the Frankel Rambam, stick on the side, in Mikoros Vitziyunim, there's an option on the side where they point often to different Rishonim or Psak, for where you could look to find other Mikoros that can help you both in the Sugya as well as understanding Rambam. In the back of the Rambam, as earlier, you have like the Sefer HaMafteach. Why is the Sefer HaMafteach valuable? It does two things for you. Let's say I'm learning a Rambam and I have a Diyuk. Let's say I'm learning a Rambam and I think that this Rambam goes against the Gemara. Sometimes we like to know, like, are we on the right path or not? Are we in a good place or not? We quote something from Solzaman, they say, I think, that, if you're driving in a road and there's no one around you at all, that's probably not the best sign. If you're driving in a road, other cars are around, heading in the same direction, at least you know that you're, like, in an okay kind of a place. If I look in the back and I have a question, I see, oh, my gosh, there's, like, 80 achronim that ask that same question. So you look at it and you're feeling, like, a little bit like, yes, there are, 81. You're like, that's, like, how you're... That's how you're checking it out. You're feeling pretty good about that. There are also situations, there are also contexts in which I'll look there and nobody ever commented on this. Nobody ever commented on this. So here's like the rule of thumb. If you think you discovered what is a major, major problem, and historically, or in the Mafteach, nobody ever asked that question, like nobody ever seemed bothered by it, so what I would say is, it could be that you just revealed something which is amazing, real possibility. It is also possible that you're missing like a basic piece of information or detail that led you to believe that you discovered an issue which no one else seems to have been as bothered by. So Mafteach is helpful for confirming, even if I don't look even at what anyone says, for confirming I'm on the right path, confirming I'm not on the best path. It also, though, can point you sometimes to the next step of a sugya. Wow, there's a Reb Chaim here. I didn't know that. That seems like it's really important. Wow, the Ketzo speaks about this. Wow, this person speaks about it. And often, I don't know where Jewish Atashbetz is. But if I wanted to know the status of ages at night, look up, oh, wow, Jewish Atashbetz, great. I may look around, and some I'm going to be more likely to look at than others. Maybe I'm not looking at the Maram Al-Shikr, I don't go there as often, although for Shkia and Seis it comes up. But the Beis Yosef, the Sma, the Yamsho Shlomo, Kes HaGadola, I don't go there that often. Probably not going to look at that. But if you look around sometimes, and especially the more you learn, the more you know, like, oh, I like this person. I've had some good experience with this, Mefak, I'm going to go there. Or Sameach always does it for me. I'm going to go towards your Sameach. But sometimes that can be, I think, enormously helpful. Being aware of the Mefar, because you learn the Rambam better, it also helps broaden the Sugya. One of the hardest things you have to, when learning, is being able to find Mikoros. Franco Rambam is very helpful, in particular in the following area. There are some areas that have real Gemaras. I'm learning the first paragraph of Ksuvis. There's a Rambam there. I've got Achronim on Ksuvis. But what if I'm learning Meseches Tevul Yom? What if I'm learning Meseches Bikurim, and there's no Gemara Bikurim? There's no Gemara Tevul Yom for me to use. when I look at the Rambam and I use the Mafteach and the Makoros Vitzionim, that will often help me find where other people are talking about this. So as opposed to being like sort of stuck, I'm learning sugyas of Avodah and the Mikdash. And I don't know where Halacha comes up at all or Kabbalah Saddam comes up, but I look at the Rambam where he talks about Kabbalah Saddam. And then I see in the Mafteach different discussions. I say, whoa, that discussion seems really important. I'm going to look there. Sometimes it can guide us. It can guide us in a variety of very helpful ways when we are learning Rambam. We have 3 or 4 minutes. I'm going to pause for some questions to go through a couple of things. Other issues. There are 2 other issues to be aware of in learning Rambam, which I think are important. Number one, the Rambam wrote other works. The Rambam wrote other works. There are major debates as to how much, when you read all the Rambam's works, you assume that they all have to be integrated, they all fit together, or at times, are there sort of like stiras, and if there are stiras, do the stiras bother us the same way? I'll give you a couple examples which are important. One famous example, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim talks about karbanos as being like a b'dieved response to Avodah Zarah, because we were used to worshiping Hashem, one way he says Mor Nevuchim, like a certain context, like Avodah Zarah. So because of that, we end up sort of like in Mor Nevuchim, get the impression karbanos are not like the most important thing in the world. We're used to doing animal worship, so God gave his commandments for animal worship. That's what we were used to. And some Achronim therefore say, La'asid lavo, maybe there won't be karbanos because the whole thing's a b'dieved reaction anyway. When you look at Mishnah Torah, the Rambam Mishnah Torah gives you no hint at all there won't be karbanos la'asid lavo, gives you no hint that karbanos are b'dieved. It sounds like there's a l'chatchila, wonderful way of worshiping Hashem. Astira, Mishnah Torah versus Mor Nevuchim. How much does that bother me? They all have to fit together, or Mor Nevuchim is a work written for certain people. Mishnah Torah is a work written more for certain other people. And therefore, the stiras don't bother me the same way. Or in Perish HaMishnah, to what extent does it bother me if in Perish HaMishnah he says one thing, but he says something different than Mishnah Torah? Is that like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Or is that not the biggest deal? It's hard for another reason also. Mishnah Torah is written in Hebrew. The Rambam we have is the Rambam that he wrote. There are nuschos issues. Look in the back here. If you get really excited about this stuff, they have in the back Yalkut Shinoi Nuschos, different nuschos of the Rambam. But we more or less have the Rambam what he wrote. The Rambam, many of his other svarim, Perish HaMishnah, Mor Nevuchim, those are not written in Hebrew. Those are written in Arabic. Because they're written in Arabic, what that means is that you're always reading a translation. And therefore, the diyuk is going to be a little bit different, what the Rambam holds in Mishnah Torah, to what the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, in Perish HaMishnah, and in Sefer HaMitzvot, which is also written in Arabic. And sometimes those texts become different. People ask stiras. I'll give an example of one. We're not going to say that. There's beautiful lumbus, we're not going to say. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, when he quotes the mitzvah of Emunah, because the mitzvah is Leida Es Hashem. In Sefer HaMitzvos, it was translated as mitzvah is Leha'amin, not to know, but to believe. And maybe knowledge and belief are not necessarily the same thing. Knowledge I can prove, belief sometimes takes a bit of a jump, maybe. Big stira in Rambam. Rav Chaim Heller translated the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos into out of Arabic originally. He pointed out the word the Rambam uses there is not Leha'amin. The Rambam uses an ambiguous word, which could either be Leha'amin or Leida. And therefore, maybe it's not the biggest problem in the whole world, because if you had the original, if you knew how to translate the Arabic, maybe it wouldn't be the biggest, issue ever. Der Chagiga Rosenzweig thinks that the Rambam intentionally chose an ambiguous word in Arabic to convey the line between Emunah and Yediyah, but that's for a different time. There are also different ways of learning Rambam, If you are a halacha-focused person, the Rambam you're learning as posik. If you're learning it as a lamdin, I'm learning the Rambam as how he read the Gemara and understood certain concepts. There are different styles of how people learn Rambam. The Reb Chaim and the Chazon Ish learned Rambam differently. Reb Chaim made certain very intense diyukim in Rambam. Reb Chaim made diyukim in Rambam that the Chazon Ish thought were not necessarily. Like, it was way over the top, just the extent to which you're making certain diyukim. That sometimes you'll find debates not about what the Rambam holds, but how much you can or can't be medayik, how much you assume when the Rambam quotes a mucker, it's for a very specific reason, or he was a little bit more easygoing about certain things. Brisker tends to take it all much, much more precise and much more seriously. I don't take it seriously, but much more precise as far as all the lashonos and makoros. Others take it a little bit less so in how they do so. Professor Mark Spear wrote a book called Studies in Maimonides, I think it's called, which is like an overview of how did people learn Rambam in a certain sense. But there's a lot to gain from different perspectives. But again, it's 1 o'clock, so we go till about one. But that's, I guess, a little bit of an overview of some insights helpful for being able to break down and understand Rambam well.